Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. My name is Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Alan Collins. And Alan has founded an organization called Student Loan Justice, and he's been working on the student loan crisis for a number of years. And he's here to talk about the presidential candidates and how they're addressing the student loan debt crisis. So, Alan, how are you?
Good. It's great to be with you, Cynthia.
Thank you. So, have you give us a little rundown of the presidential candidates and what you think of them?
Sure. First, I might point out what student loan injustice is. I know there's a lot of noise around this issue, but just for your listeners' benefit, I should say that unlike every other type of loan in this country, student loans have been specifically vacated and stripped of bankruptcy protections. And believe it or not, the founding fathers called for uniform bankruptcy laws ahead of the power to declare war and raise an army. So this has been taken uniquely away from student loans, and it lies at the heart of the problem. So we're here in Iowa now, following all of the presidential candidates around. And I'm, compared to 2016, I'm really glad to report that at least nominally, we can support the majority of the presidential candidates in the race here today, because they have all co-sponsored, at a minimum, a bill in the Senate right now, S-1414, which would return standard constitutional bankruptcy rights to student loans. But having said that, it's pretty clear who the most, who the best candidates are and who the worst are. So I'll just give you a quick rundown here. Number one is Bernie Sanders. He's called for the cancellation of all student loan debt through taxation on the wealthy. Number two would be Elizabeth Warren, who has called for a cancellation program up to $50,000 per borrower, and also has called for the return of bankruptcy rights. Number three, I would have to say, is somebody nobody knows about, who is John Delaney. And believe it or not, he's still in the race. When he was in Congress, he did. John Delaney. He was in the first debate, but he has not been in the previous three or four debates. But when he was in Congress, when the cameras were turned off, he was introducing really good legislation, and so I have to put him up there. So below that, I would have to say people like Tulsi Gabbard, Andrew Yang, Amy Klobuchar nominally. That would be sort of the middle of the pack. At the bottom of the pack, unfortunately, I have to report that people like Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, and unfortunately, Cory Booker all have been essentially towing the standard Washington line that we saw in 2016 from Hillary Clinton and many others. So that's sort of the snapshot of what's going on.
So I remember back in 2012, maybe? When Obama was running for re-election, and Mitt Romney was his opponent, I remember Cory Booker coming out and praising the Bain Capital, the company that Romney worked for. So that's not a surprise to say that he's in the pocket of the big bank.
Yeah, there's a lot of corporate money, and that's still true today with Booker, I am told. But similarly, Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg, they seem to have a lot of what I call the student loan swamp support. and so that's just sort of what it is. Joe Biden, when he was a senator in Delaware, played a huge role in taking bankruptcy protections away from private student loans, certainly in 2005. And, there's really sort of an invisible hand going on behind the Democratic Party, which really is just corporate money. And so I don't know exactly what Pete Buttigieg has going on behind the scenes or Cory Booker, but I can smell a lot of corporate financial industry money behind them. And it's really unfortunate. You know, Joe Biden is really carrying the mantle of the Obama administration. And, you know, to hear him just completely have nothing to offer the voters on the student loan issue is beyond disappointing.
But he was the architect of taking bankruptcy protection away from people, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't want to talk too badly about Joe Biden, but I've got to point the finger where it needs to point. And in 2005, the bankruptcy bill that was passed was spearheaded by Joe Biden. And this legislation took bankruptcy rights away from private student loans. So they had already been gone from federal student loans. But, you know, just due to the nothing more than the great political influence of the private banks, Joe Biden fought for them, got bankruptcy taken away from private student loans. And a little while later, Sallie Mae relocated their corporate headquarters to Delaware. And, you know, Joe Biden and Albert Lohr did a joint press conference on CNBC about it. And I've even heard rumors that Joe Biden has been playing golf at then CEO of Sallie Mae, Albert Lohr's private golf course up in Anne Arundel, Maryland.
Wow.
So I would say that Joe Biden is probably the worst of all the candidates on the student loan issue. And that's really sad because he's probably the front runner right now.
You know, there's so many people in this country that are burdened with debt. You know, not only younger people, but some older people also. And you would think that there would be a number of people speaking out and say, no, Joe Biden hurt us. He didn't help us, but nobody's saying anything. What's your feeling about that?
Well, you know, here on the ground, I can tell you that the mainstream media really shut off debate on many of the issues, and the student loan issue is one of them. So, you know, I've been here for 5 or 6 months now, and I have yet to hear any meaningful dialogue about the student loan issue, and it's just sad to see. As you mentioned, this is not just a young person's problem. This is 55 million people in the country who either have student loans or are co-signed on them. And if I had to guess, I would say the average age is probably pushing 50 years old at this point. It's maybe
wow.
Even 40, but you know, this is not a young person's issue. This is a $1.892 trillion issue at this point. And I think that both of the parties, Republicans and Democrats, they ignore this issue at their great peril because, you know, of those 55 million people I just mentioned, something like 60 or 65% are losing sleep over their loans. So they're either in default, they're in deferment, forbearance, or they're otherwise delinquent. So that's like 34 or 5 million people who, you know, if they see something meaningful from the candidates, they will fight strongly for that candidate. You know, this is something that could turn a loss into a landslide. 35 million people is, and most of these people vote, by the way, people with student loans, people with college educations generally vote at a much higher rate than the average population. So
there's also the Republican candidate, who it looks like it will be Donald Trump. Has he done anything for helping people with student loans?
Well, oh, he would like to claim that he has. For example, a few months ago, he canceled the loans for 100% disabled service veterans and military veterans. And that was kind of a nonsense move. I mean, it was pretty meaningless in the first place. So Donald Trump has not done anything as of yet. But if Donald Trump were smart, and I happen to know that people in his inner circle are very aware of this problem, Donald Trump could, by executive order, return bankruptcy rights to student loans tomorrow. And if he wants to win this election, I think that he should probably do this a few months before the election. I think this would be, I wouldn't call it an October surprise, but I would call it maybe a June surprise that Donald Trump as president could do. And, you know, believe it or not, in the past year, Cynthia, very conservative groups like people from the Cato Institute, from George Mason University, from the National Review, they have all called for the return of bankruptcy rights to student loans. So I hold out a certain amount of hope for President Trump, but time will tell. we'll have to see how influenced he has been by the lending industry. I know his Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, is quite frankly terrible on the issue. I mean, she has really she has given the fox the run of the hen house on the student loan issue, which was as expected, I should say. But you know, Donald Trump is sort of he's a wild loose cannon, or sort of a maverick, as you want to say. And so I think there may be a potential there. There may be a possibility that Donald Trump may do the right thing.
In 2016, I know you were holding out hope that Trump might do something, given the fact that, you know, he's declared personal bankruptcy a number of times. What's so egregious about Betsy DeVos?
Well, you know, a lot of people really love to pile on Betsy DeVos. And, you know, I'll agree. And I've written articles in the Boston Herald and other places that she has essentially sold out to the student loan industry on this issue. And she's also sold out to the for-profit colleges, I might add. But, you know, Cynthia, the Secretary of Education is just not that important in this debate. It's really the unelected, unappointed bureaucrats below the secretary who have been perpetuating this problem for years and years and years. You know, it's the people who don't get their names in the papers who have really been the huge weight against the borrowers on this problem. So while I agree that Betsy DeVos is pretty terrible, you know, I could say nearly the same thing about Arne Duncan before her and Margaret Spellings and on down the list.
So there's also another candidate running, and that's the Green Party candidate, which is, I believe, Howie Hawkins. Has the Green Party made any overtures to solving this problem in 2020?
You know, I'm really glad you asked, and I have to report that in 2016, the only party that we could endorse, the only candidate that we could endorse, was Jill Stein. The Green Party had called for total student loan cancellation, and so on that, they garnered our full support. This time around, I don't think, and I don't know for sure, but I don't think the Green Party's I don't think their platform has changed. And so I think the Green Party is still, at least on the student loan issue, a very viable party to at least to look at on the student loan issue. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about the Green Party. They have been ahead of the curve on this for many years. And I know Howie Hawkins personally, very good guy. But, you know, at the same time, I have to say that at least now, the Democrats seem to be coming around, at least on paper. Although I will say that the loan cancellation proposals from both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, they are fraught with risk. And what I mean by that is that, you know, by the time Congress were to pass any sort of tax on the wealthy or the investment community and turn that into some sort of a loan cancellation program, it will almost certainly be administered by the Department of Education, which historically, and these are all those unnamed bureaucrats that I just mentioned below Betsy DeVos, that have no desire or intentions of canceling any loans. And so just like all of the previous forgiveness programs that we've seen, there's no reason to expect that even 0.5% of the people who try for these forgiveness or cancellation programs will actually get them, because there will be some sort of an application involved. And the Department of Education, like they did with the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, like they're doing with the Income-Based Repayment Program, they will find a way to kick out the vast majority of people from those, from getting that benefit. And so I am just very, very, very wary and suspicious of any cancellation or forgiveness program that we hear from the candidates. And, you know, I might add, Cynthia, we are pushing very hard for all of the candidates to pledge that they, as president, will issue an executive order which calls on the Department of Education and its contractors to stop opposing bankruptcy filers on student loans in court. That would be something that would, you know, that would essentially get around Congress and take Congress out of the picture. And it would also really take the Department of Education out of the picture, and it would make it so that bankruptcy for student loans was treated exactly the same as for all other loans in bankruptcy proceedings. And I think that's
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Do you remember who introduced you to Howie Hawkins?
You did, Cynthia, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that greatly. Yeah. No, Howie's a great guy. Yeah. And, you know, I wish him all the best. I actually didn't realize that he was going to be at the top of the ticket here this time around. But
I believe so.
You know, as I said, we can always support the Green Party. They seem to be way ahead of the curve on this issue.
You know, that's great, but there really hasn't been a lot of substantive coverage of the Green Party in the presidential election. But let's take a look at the candidates that are running. They really, you know, this is an issue that's kind of like not in the forefront. So therefore, these candidates know, they have to know, that it's impoverishing millions and millions of people, but yet they do nothing. Don't they care that in 20 or 30 years, when younger people are ready to retire, that if Social Security dwindles and there's no pension, don't the candidates worry how these people are going to live?
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, Cynthia. This has grown from a like $100 billion problem, which is a lot, but it's grown almost 20-fold in just the past 16, 17 years. And at this rate, it's going to be a $5 trillion debt, a wet blanket over the citizens in another 15 or 20 years. And this just cannot continue. It cannot. And it is so sad for me to see the mainstream media shutting down all but the top two parties. You know, we never hear about the Green Party in the media. We never hear about the Libertarians. We never hear about any party besides the Democrats and Republicans. And if the major party candidates continue to ignore this issue, I just think it's the most dangerous thing in the world. I mean, student loans are a grave national threat at this point. And, you know, the founding fathers would be looking down, and probably are looking down shaking their heads in shame about this problem. And, you know, even the Congress of 1965, Lyndon Baines Johnson, when he signed the Higher Education Act in 1965, he declared that these loans would be free of interest. Well, today, over $100 in interest is clicking up on the nation's student debt tab. You know, I don't know what the first domino to fall will be that might break up this dominance of the major two parties, but I would say the student loan issue may very well be that domino. I mean, there's only so much the people are prepared to take. You know, I think the citizens have been extremely tolerant and patient as this lending system has grown to such threatening proportions. But I think that time is at an end. And they will vote libertarian or green or, you know, anybody else independent on this issue alone if there's enough viable option out there for them. And so, we'll see.
In 2016, when it was a race between Jill Stein and Clinton and Trump, and, you know, Jill Stein talked about the issue, and I don't believe Trump or Clinton really addressed it in any meaningful way. From 2016 today, as we're heading into the 2020 election, how much worse has the problem gotten?
Well, it's gotten significantly worse. We can now say that the default rate is probably well over 50% at this point. In 2016, we couldn't really say that, although, quite frankly, I think it was getting towards there in the first place. But, you know, the cost of college has increased at like double the rate of inflation. And so over 10 years, that's like, I don't know, 15% or so. The amount of student loan debt outstanding has grown from about $1.3 trillion to, I'm going to say, about $1.8 or $9 trillion today, although the official estimate is much lower than that. But it still is exactly – it's probably close to $2 trillion if I had to guess. So the issue has gotten much worse. The number of people who are losing sleep over it has grown pretty dramatically. And so, you know, I'm glad to – and I am, you know, to the Democrats' credit, I am glad to say that at least nominally we can support quite a few of the candidates at this point. But, you know, I can only hope that the mainstream media will really start asking tough questions of candidates, because when they do, it will become very clear who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, and others are just terrible on this issue, and they need to be exposed for that. Although I should say that I am hopeful, Cynthia. We still have a month to go, more than a month, before the Iowa caucuses. And we are pushing all of the candidates to agree to make that pledge that I said earlier, a pledge that by executive order they will return bankruptcy protections to student loans. So far, Bernie Sanders has agreed, so at least we have him on our side. But we'll see what shakes out between now and February.
And so you use the phrase mainstream media, okay? So if you put Fox on, you put CNN or MSNBC, all these people who have their own programs and talk about the presidential race, don't they don't these people realize who are on TV day after day after day that there's a simmering problem in this country? They've got to know.
You know, I have not heard Rachel Maddow mention student loans even one time. I don't watch MSNBC religiously. In fact, I don't watch any of the mainstream media religiously anymore. I've just sort of given up seeing all this palace intrigue and impeachment distraction just overwhelm the news topics. But similarly for CNN, I haven't heard Anderson Cooper mention student loans in any sort of a meaningful way. Interestingly, and sort of funnily, Tucker Carlson of Fox News, believe it or not, has actually given this issue some quite serious coverage over the past couple of months. So that's really surprising. But certainly CNN is out to lunch, MSNBC is out to lunch, CBS pretty much out to lunch. He has been doing some pretty good reporting with Annie Nova and a couple other reporters. But, you know, the top three or four channels are just completely missing in action. And I don't know if that's by design or just what the reasons are behind that, but it's pretty hard to watch.
Well, Alan, we've come to the end of this show. And so, you know, I hope to have you on as a returning guest throughout the presidential campaign to talk about your views and share your views about the presidency and also how the congressional candidates are dealing with this. So you have been listening to All Exits Closed. And if you like this program, please follow us on Twitter, All Exits Closed. If you have student debt, if you know somebody with student debt, please follow us on Twitter. Thank you. Alan, have a great day, and thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be talking soon.
Thank you.